The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello, and welcome to Family First. This is your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm very excited about today's show. It's about helping your child be naturally thin, and we have a real expert to talk about it. The national epidemic of obesity is in the news daily, and even the once slender Europeans and Asians are putting on the fat now. It's not just about suffering from lower energy, weakened self-image, and possible ridicule. Studies link obesity to early development of the life-threatening degenerative conditions of modern living, including diabetes, cardiovascular problems, respiratory problems, and cancer. Because of obese children, it's said that this coming generation will have a shorter life expectancy than their parents for the first time in centuries. Yet polls indicate that as many as half of the population say they're on diets. How can this be? My guest this week is Jean Antonello, a registered nurse who has found a key to achieving and maintaining your natural healthy weight without dieting. In fact, she'll explain how dieting can be the cause of obesity rather than the solution. She's author of How to Become Naturally Thin by Eating More and two other great books on this subject. So this show could actually save someone's life. Jean Antonello has a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing and is a registered nurse. She struggled with her own weight for 17 years, going on multiple popular diets, watching her weight come back with a vengeance once it was lost, and leading a dieting lifestyle which left her feeling out of control. After finding that numerous experts and publications could not explain the problem she and millions of others were facing with the yo-yo diet effect, Jean began her own studies. She discovered that the problem was not a psychological one or a willpower one or even the effect of eating too much and not moving enough. Instead, it was a natural physiological effect which she could work with instead of fighting against her body. Jean has helped families around the world, and her groundbreaking books include How to Become Naturally Thin by Eating More, Naturally Thin Kids, inspired by working with her daughter, and Breaking Out of Food Jail for those with eating disorders. So I'm very excited to welcome you to our show, Jean, and I want to say right off, I especially appreciate it because you recently had a riding accident, and I appreciate you being able to be here today.
Thanks, Randy.
So I'd love you to explain how you first got involved in looking into this issue about appetite and weight. I understand it was from your own experience. Can you give us more detail about that?
Sure. Randy, I started dieting when I was about 13 years old, and I wasn't really overweight. I was just a bigger bone, taller girl than my siblings and my classmates, and so that perception drove me to start my first diet. And of course, 13-year-olds don't go on a healthy diet. They just try to not eat, which is basically what I did. Pretty extreme attempts that just led to a cycle of under-eating followed by overeating. Gradually, I just gained weight. I'd lose it temporarily, and then I'd gain it back. And after 17 years of this, I had two problems. I had a weight problem, and I had a diet lifestyle problem. And I think the diet lifestyle problem might have been the worst problem of the two, although I was very discouraged about my weight as well. I finally got so discouraged that I decided to look into the research that had been done on obesity, and I found that those studies all came from the same place, and that was eat less, exercise more. I had been doing that for 17 years, and it didn't work for me. So I began to ask people, all kinds of people, what their dieting experiences were, and I learned two things. I learned first that overweight people are not overeating too much. They're often not eating enough. They're often under-eating in an attempt to control their weight. The second thing I learned was that dieters eventually lose control of their eating behavior and go off the diet. This, of course, leads to excess eating, binging, and very high interest in sweets and fatty foods, the fat producers. Well, armed with these ideas, I decided to try to understand why I was losing control like these other dieters. I was under-eating in the same way, and I was also losing control. So I took them seriously. I knew they were telling the truth. And I realized over time that the only thing that was stronger than my desire to be thin was my survival instinct. My body was actually interfering with my attempt to lose weight because it was a threat to my survival. And as I realized that, I saw that the under-eating in dieting actually leads to the loss of control and the gaining of weight back. And once I figured that out, I was in the clear. I finally knew what to do. And it was to stop dieting, learn how to eat well, and give it time. And that's exactly what I did.
Oh, that's so interesting. And that's been successful for you.
Well, it has. This was 30 years ago, and I have never dieted or worried about my weight for those 30 years since. And so I consider myself naturally thin.
That's awesome. Well, as a practical nurse, I assume you studied a lot, so you were willing to do that kind of research and interviewing on your own behalf. And were you able to use that in your nursing work, or did you go straight into helping people with their weight?
Well, actually, it was the other way around. I learned at the University of Minnesota School of Nursing about the theory of adaptation. This concept just describes how species adjust to changes in the environment in order to survive. And this whole concept is the base of the curriculum of the University School of Nursing. And so I was really familiar with it. And so as I looked at my under-eating, overeating behavior and the survival instinct piece, I realized that it fit really well into this concept of adaptation. For the first time, and this almost seems funny, at least odd, for the first time I began to look at fat and excess fat on the human body as a positive thing. It's actually a positive adaptive response to an environment where food is intermittently restricted. In other words, if you don't eat enough food off and on, your body needs to store more fat to protect you from famines in the future. And the irony in this is that the eat less, exercise more diet actually sets people up to overeat because of this adaptive response.
That's such a brilliant concept. I've always, my dad was a doctor, and he's a very big believer in evolution and adaptation, and this is so brilliant of you to put it together with this national epidemic.
Yes, it is.
So, what gave you the idea how did you come up with that concept of just naturally thin using this adaptation theory?
One of the things that I did in my research, I interviewed many different people. I interviewed people who were overweight, people who were underweight, people who dieted all the time, people who could never diet, people who never thought about dieting. And I, of course, came across a number of naturally thin people in this interviewing, and I was struck by the normalcy of their relationship with food, that it was very easy for them to sense their hunger signals, get something to eat, eat until they were satisfied, stop, and go on with their life. I found that intriguing at the time because, of course, I was still a dieter. But the reason I call the concept naturally thin is because it's a body-controlled program. You actually turn the controls from your intellect to your body so that you honor the signals for food, the hunger signal, and the fuel full signal, which is satiation. And in that, your body is finally getting what it really needs and is forced to readapt to that new food supply because fat is really maladaptive when your body's getting plenty of good food when it needs it.
Oh, that makes so much sense, Jean. So when you're trying to help a child, how hard is it to lead a child into this way of thinking when they're hearing about diets all the time from ads and TV and articles in the paper and the magazines, and their favorite stars are going through it, and there's pressure from peers, how dare you eat, you know, as often as you do or whatever. How do you convince a child that this might work?
Well, it's hard, given all those influences. I think for me, it boils down to the parents. If the parents understand these concepts, if the parents realize the role of under-eating, of fasting, going hungry, eating recklessly on the run, just not getting enough calories in at the right time, and the right kind of calories in at the right time, if parents don't understand that, then I'd say it's kind of hopeless. I've coached kids who have learned the principles, and they grasp the principles, I'd say as young as 8. Kids really do understand, and I don't get complicated about it. I just say, when you get hungry, it's really important that you eat. And when you eat, it's really important that you stay away from lousy food and eat great food until you're satisfied. Kids can understand that. They can grasp that. And I've had very good luck with children who have grasped that, whose parents are willing to support them. And that's a big if. Because if the food isn't available for them at home, and if they aren't encouraged to eat when they are hungry, it's not likely to stick.
And in the case today, we have a second generation of obese parents who the studies show they actually don't realize, they don't believe that they are overweight or that their children are overweight, and they may not be supportive.
Well, and besides that, they don't really understand why they're overweight, because they think
Right. They
just eat too much all the time, because that's really what the message that our culture sends to them. You just eat too much all the time. So they don't see the dieting, under-eating, reckless eating as being a component. And they don't see it as being a component in their child's life either. So the attitude in America, I think for the most part, is it's okay for kids to go hungry. It won't hurt them. It won't kill them. In fact, it might be good because of the obesity epidemic. Maybe we can, you know, help a little bit here by just having them skip a meal or skip a snack or skip breakfast, and that's obviously really backfiring.
Oh, my, yes, that's a terrible attitude, the idea that children can go hungry because it will keep a few calories from going in their mouth.
Right.
Oh, my.
Right.
So we're coming up on a break very soon, but I just wanted to ask, and we'll talk about it after the break, what do you think is the biggest cause of obesity in kids today? Because we hear about, they're couch potatoes, or they're playing too many video games. I want to hear your interpretation of that after our break.
Okay.
So that would be great.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking with Jean Antonello, who's done some wonderful research to discover how to help your children be naturally thin and to help yourself as well. She's written the book, How to Become Naturally Thin by Eating More and Naturally Thin Kids. And she's been explaining how this makes so much sense when you think about depriving yourself of food puts the body into an adaptive response where it stores food more easily and you want to eat more when it's there, and then you try to deprive yourself, it just puts you into a vicious cycle. Is that basically correct, Jean?
That's correct.
Great. And so what would you say is the biggest cause of obesity in kids today when we hear about couch potatoes or too many video games or they're just lazy? I don't think that's it.
No. I think it's that kids are not eating enough good food at the right time. Hunger is not the problem with obesity. Excessive hunger is the problem. Kids are hungry all day long intermittently, and the trouble with our fast-paced society is that we don't really delegate hardly any time during the day for kids to eat a solid meal. And so children are skipping breakfast because both of their parents are leaving for work before they go to school. They're picking at their lunch at school because they don't like the options, or they're eating a really high-fat, low-quality type of food because they're starving since they didn't eat breakfast. They're going home. They're not supervised at home. They eat what's there, and because parents don't realize how crucial it is for kids to have very high-quality food available for them to eat after school, chips and pop and very low-class foods are available. And children that are over hungry because they've under eaten during the day can consume a very large number of calories at a sitting as long as they have poor quality foods available, because they tend to be foods with condensed mixtures of sugar and fat. These are really great makeup foods for kids who are not eating at the right time. So I think this is the biggest problem. We haven't prioritized proactive eating for children, and it's really getting out of control. There's one other factor that I think is important, and that is famine sensitivity. This is an idea that I kind of discovered, and it has to do with the genetic piece that children bring to bear. They inherit not obesity per se, but they do inherit a sensitivity to the famine experience or to going hungry. If their famine sensitivity is quite high, they don't have to go hungry that much for their bodies to really react and put on fat. Children with a low famine sensitivity don't really react to famines because their bodies just are not genetically tuned into that. But we have a high population of famine-sensitive children in our country, and that's why it's so important for us to emphasize the importance of feeding these children proactively, making sure that they have great food available on demand all day long.
Wow, that's fascinating, the famine sensitivity, because we do know in certain ethnic groups that they're more prone to obesity, and it's there's a lot of factors against them. Not only do they tend to have more cheaper junk food available to them, but now this famine sensitivity may be running in their genetics as well, so it's stacked against them.
That's right. And Randy, the very unhappy fact is that the children, these ethnic groups, these children are, as you say, just the ones who have the poor quality food. They tend to be more impoverished. They are so vulnerable. And, of course, with the eat less, exercise more message out there all the time, these kids don't have a chance. They just don't have a chance. They really do have famines in their lives. This isn't something that is a diet issue for them. They really experience famines because of the ups and downs of the income of the family. So this is it's a crisis.
Yes, absolutely. So back to the parent who wants who understands this and wants to make changes, what would be the most important changes or the first changes that a parent should make? Would it be, like you mentioned, about planning some meals?
The most important thing that a parent can do is provide high quality for her children all day long, every day. And that means to look at the home environment and make sure good food is, quality food is available there. Look at the school environment, look at the sports activities environment, look at the dance lessons area, all the places where that child shows up during the course of the day, really need troubleshooting so that children don't get caught hungry and then excessively hungry, which sets them up for overeating. So that's the first thing to do, is provide an environment of high-quality food. Kids will eat the food that's available to them when they're hungry. And kids will not eat food that is not available to them. And that leads me to the second point. Get rid of all the junk. Get rid of everything that you might have to argue with your child about eating. All of the cookies and snacks and dessert foods and pop, chips, all of those types of foods which you know in your heart are not quality foods, they're not healthy foods for your child. Get rid of them, because kids will eat food that is in their environment when they're hungry.
That makes so much sense. I know I've in my parenting courses I've had people say, well, she always goes for the bad stuff, and I say, well, why is it in the house? You at least have control over your house.
That's right.
And for many, that's a new idea. But that goes along with the idea that, you know, parents really do need to exert more control over the environment of their children today.
Right. They're in charge. They're supposed to be in charge.
Right. So what are those high quality foods? What kinds of foods do you encourage parents to have? Because so many people, there's so little nutrition education that even goes on, and so much heavy duty advertising. What are these high quality foods that you recommend to parents to have in the house?
I call them clean foods, and I list them in my books. They're foods that fall within the four basic food groups, meats, poultry, fish, the types of protein foods. When you prepare a meal, don't get fancy. It's important to just keep things simple. Kids will go along with it as long as you're preparing food that they like, which, by the way, is a very important thing to do. Sit down with your children and talk about the real foods, the quality foods that they like. So real foods, again, involve the four food groups, just the basic meal-type foods that we all eat on a regular basis. And if you just cut out all the lousy foods, the poor quality foods, the real foods generally emerge. They're not deep-fried like French fries. They don't have a whole lot of fat in them, excepting for a food like cheese, which is okay because it's a dairy product. It has protein, and it's something that kids can really use for a snack. The dairy products are, you know, simple yogurt, cottage cheese, eggs, etc. The only restrictions on any of these food is if your child, of course, is sensitive or allergic to them. But most children can eat from this broad base, the grains, whole grains, absolutely, whole grain rice, whole grain bread. They'll get used to it if they don't like it at the outset. And fats, the polyunsaturated fats, butter is fine. I don't really get into an argument about that because it's much better to argue about chips and pop and dessert foods, you know, cakes and candy and snacks like that. So those are the real foods that I list in the book, and it's kind of a no-brainer. Just go with those foods that in your heart you know are decent quality foods.
That's great advice. I remember one of my son's friends, years after they had grown up, and he was stopping by the house, and he said, "Do you still make those great sandwiches?" And back in the first time he tried them, he thought it was really strange. Brown bread and all natural mayonnaise and organic cheese. He thought it was really weird, but every time he came over in those days, he would ask for that sandwich. And it was so funny. 10 years later, he was like, "Do you still have that sandwich? Can I make one?"
Wow.
So the kids do recognize when they get real food. So what snacks do you recommend? Because it's so crucial with the kids running around to their after-school events and, like you said, running off in the morning without breakfast.
Yeah.
What kind of snacks can a parent have available easily?
Well, the first thing that I recommend are leftovers. It's fine for them to heat up a slice of pizza or part of a casserole, or anything that you ate last night or yesterday. And don't think in terms of, you know, like we're talking about after school, don't think in terms of snack foods. I don't even like the word snack because it suggests that it's kind of a little food that's not really well thought, that might not be particularly good quality, eaten on the run. It's considered kind of unimportant because it's just a snack. I like to think about real foods that kids eat in between meals. And so go for the same list that you go for when you're preparing a meal. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich, for example. peanut butter on anything, yogurt, cut up vegetables, fruit, lots of fruit. That's a nice time to get fruit in. But it's important to remember that a really hungry child after school might not be satisfied with an apple. It might not be enough food to really stay with them. So pay attention. Maybe your 11-year-old is still hungry but is kind of unsure about admitting it to you. So talk to your kids. Be open about their hunger. Invite them to tell you that they're still hungry, that that just didn't hold them, that they want something else, they want something bigger. So I think the openness that the parent has will be a big message to children about their relationship with their own bodies, and that it's perfectly fine to be hungry as often as they are hungry. And
oh, that makes so much sense. We're up on a break now, Jean,
okay,
but
sure.
I want to get back to this. This is great advice.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iRadioBlog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jean Antonello, who's a registered nurse and an author on the subject of creating naturally thin children and also getting naturally thin yourself. And it's such a wonderful concept of working with the body instead of against the body. And depriving yourself of food in an effort to diet actually creates changes in the body that makes you want more and store fat more quickly. And we were talking about good snacks, and I love the idea, Jean, that the term snack makes that meal seem insignificant, and it's been utilized by the advertisers to convince people that snacking on candies and pop is okay, but you're saying to treat it like you want to use the same real quality foods that you would have in a meal. And
right.
You can do that for your
right.
children.
Exactly.
And that they come home so hungry that you were saying at the break that they will actually reach for the richer foods where there's all that concentrated sugar and fat, but that's exactly the wrong thing.
Well, and if it's not an option, they'll eat
the quality food that's there. And that's why it's so important for parents to get rid of the junk, to make it not an option for the child. Food quality is the part of this two-tiered program that I've developed, and without that tier, it's just not going to work. The quality of the diet makes all the difference in the world, because the body depends upon the nutrients in a high-quality diet. And if those nutrients are not there, then the body experiences a different type of famine, and that's a quality famine. So the goal of the parent has to be to provide quality, high quality, and quantity, that is availability all day long of great foods that kids like.
That makes so much sense. And I've actually known people who thought that their kids' diets were a place they could cut the budget. And I would always say, no. Food mm-hmm. is not where you cut the budget, mm-hmm. especially your children's food. So what would be some budget-sensitive things that people can think about? Because I know, like, eggs are just such a wonderful protein food, and you mentioned cheese and peanut butter. And those can really build the child's appetite mechanism and fat storage mechanism in the right way.
Right, exactly. So? And eggs are not expensive.
Right.
So, and there are a number of wonderful kid-type foods that are not expensive. Some are more so, but I agree with you that is just not the place to try to trim the budget. I think dairy products, in general, are favorites of kids for meals and snacks. Produce can be expensive. I think it's really best if parents focus on the seasonal products, because the prices are tend to be lower. Going to a farmer's market can also cut the prices on fresh foods for a family. But children really need foods that they like. I think we used to have liver in my family once a week, because it was supposed to be really good for our red blood cells or something. But none of us liked liver. It was just, it was awful. And I think it's unfair to children to prepare food for them and expect them to eat it, really, if it's food that they seriously don't like. This is why it's so important for parents to sit down with their kids and look over the real food list and pick out those foods that they really like for meals and for snacks, so that the mom or the dad knows what to keep on hand for the child when he or she is hungry. And they're always good options.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and it's all about communicating, spending time with the child so that you actually get to know what their preferences are and
right.
help them learn to eat properly. How do you encourage children to deal with schoolmates if they're taking healthy snacks and their kids say, oh, you don't drink diet soda or whatever it is? How do you fortify kids against the misunderstandings of their schoolmates?
I think it's part of the modeling of the parents that really helps children to be somewhat inoculated against comments like this. When parents are eating in a body-controlled way, when they're eating good quality food, whenever they're hungry, and they're modeling this to their children, this is normal for kids. This is just the normal way you eat. And so a child that's maybe being taunted a little bit about, you know, having what he has, you know, whole wheat bread with the peanut butter sandwich and then a fruit or something that's, not chips and candy bars or whatever other kids take. I think that the child starts off in a more secure position because his family eats like this. But secondarily, the child can
just look at them and say, you know, the normal thing is to eat when you're hungry, and that's what I'm doing. And to not defend what he's eating, but just to make a simple statement. I don't find that there's a lot of peer pressure among kids unless a child is overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And children that are obviously overweight are really behind the eight ball in the lunchroom. And that's a big problem because that only contributes to the feast or famine cycle for them because they're not inclined to eat anything for lunch.
They don't want to be seen eating because they
exactly
think the
right
other kids are going to think they shouldn't be eating.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really scary.
And that's another thing that this program really helps kids with is the attitude toward overweight people. There's a terrific amount of prejudice in our country, even amongst professional people, physicians and researchers, against overweight people because we somewhere deep down we believe that overweight people just don't try hard enough.
And yeah, somehow they're weaker or
they're weaker,
willpower.
They're not deserving,
yeah.
They should just stop eating for a year while their bodies use up all this fat. And many, many people express those kinds of attitudes in front of their children. When kids are taught that people who are overweight are really struggling and are trying, and that's why they're so overweight, that they're trying so hard and they're fighting their bodies so hard and it's backfiring so badly on them, when kids get that information, it gives them a whole different perspective on their overweight peers.
So they can, you've talked in your books about the terrible decline in the self-esteem when kids can't beat their weight problem with the diet of the month or whatever their parents tell them they should do. And so this, you've seen this turn their whole self-image around when they understand what's going on?
Well, it turns the self-image, certainly, of the dieting child around to a degree. But the dieting child has a weight problem. The dieting child might have become overweight just by reckless eating, not necessarily by conscious dieting, but just by reckless eating, missing meals, eating low-quality snacks on the run, just not getting enough good food at the right time. And that's a famine-sensitive child who responds to that food supply by putting on fat. So this child's image, self-image, is damaged. In our culture, almost no person who is significantly overweight is above the rejection of the culture as a whole. And kids certainly are not accepted from that rule. So learning about this can really help an overweight child, but unless that child and his parents can get on board with the principles that I'm talking about and learn to provide a high-quality environmental food supply and keep the low-class food out, then he's really, really going to struggle.
So if a parent feels that they're going to have to change their lifestyle so much to fit in meals and to learn more about real foods, how do you convince the family or how do you persuade them that they really need to take a look at that?
Well, if the family is concerned about the child and about the child's weight, that can be leverage with the information that I give them, because their concern is obviously a certain type of commitment. And if I can use that commitment of their concern to inspire them to make these changes, which are not overwhelmingly difficult changes, but they do
They do require an effort, and they require a sustained effort. And so convincing them is about using their concern for the kid and convincing them also that the under-eating and reckless eating and eating late and overeating that follows, that is the path that the child's been on, and that the new path has to be very different. And it's
that
not about trying to not eat.
It's Jean, about, we're up on another break, but
yeah.
I want to get back to that. It's fascinating, and it's great what you're doing with families to re-educate them about what's going on.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe, has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking with Jean Antonello, who's written some wonderful books and has great programs for helping people, and especially kids. And we're speaking with Jean Antonello, who is a nurse who's done an amazing amount of research on what's really going on with the obesity epidemic. And she has a program where kids can actually become naturally thin, where they no longer have to think about their weight or dieting, and how dieting can actually be a source of the problem because it causes this changes in the body that make the kids and adults as well eat more and store more fat, even if they don't eat more, if they're under eating. So, Jean, I wanted to ask specifically about a parent who's dealing with a child who has tried to lose weight without success. And I remember telling my kids that college is kind of where you learn all the bad habits, and now it's mm-hmm. in high school and earlier, where you learn all the bad habits of a consumer culture. And so how does a parent start that conversation, assuming that they've learned and understood from your book? They may be fearful of even talking to their daughter who's miserable about her weight.
Well, first of all, don't be fearful, but be delicate, because especially girls are very sensitive about their eating. And so you might approach your daughter by saying, you know, I've discovered some things about for myself about you know, my eating and dieting, and I wonder if you wouldn't mind if I shared them with you. if you already know that your child has been dieting and not successfully, then you know that they're trying to eat less. You know that they're trying to cut down. And so right off the bat, so just sharing this idea, I've learned that, you know, it's actually my trying to eat less that's backfiring, and that's why I gain the weight back every time. Because the child will identify with that, and if they're open, they will pick up on the information, and they'll start asking you more questions.
Oh, that's great. So so that's kind of what people talk about, the yo-yo dieting, that they feel even worse when the weight comes back, so they try another diet they read about somewhere. So that sets them up for even a worse rebound effect. Is that right?
It's right. One of the facts about that is that yo-yo dieters end up with a permanently disabled metabolic rate, which is a big problem. And it's because the body has adapted to this lack of regular food supply by depressing the metabolic rate forever, because it just assumes that this is the way the environment is going to be. They also get in the process of dieting over and over again, they get a higher BMI, because as they gain weight back, they gain more fat back and less muscle than what they lost in the first place. So their fat content goes up, the fat content of their body. So it's a very, very vicious cycle.
Yeah, they're so into dieting that they develop metabolic problems in the other direction, where they're fearful to put anything in their mouths.
Right. And actually, Randy, they don't know what else to do. That's the fact. They don't know what else to do but diet in the traditional way, and that is to try to eat less than their bodies need. And so it's not really their fault. It seems like an insane thing to do, to diet over and over and over again and only end up weighing more. Many women have said to me, I wish I weighed what I weighed when I started dieting.
Oh, my.
Yes, oh, my.
That's very telling, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure people know how to reach you, Jean, for speaking engagements or for consulting with the parents, and also how they can get one of your or all of your wonderful books.
Okay. My email address for my website is Jean, J-E-A-N, at naturally-thin.com.
Great, and you have your books are there. And
my books are there. The website is naturally-thin.com. That was my email address on the website. So naturally-thin.com. And my books are there. They're also at Amazon and I believe Barnes & Noble online. So they're easy to get.
Great, and there's some wonderful reviews of people who've really benefited. And I want to mention Breaking Out of Food Jail is for people who have identified eating disorders, and Naturally Thin Kids tells you exactly how to help your kids learn more about what's really going on for their bodies and to stop fighting their bodies but work with them. And, of course, the book Becoming Naturally Thin by Eating More, which is a great title because it runs counterintuitive to what everybody's hearing all the time, that, mm-hmm. just eat less and it'll mm-hmm. work out.
Mm-hmm.
So this is brilliant work you're doing. So any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, I want to encourage the audience, and I bet there are many, many dieters. I was a veteran dieter for so many years. I wonder how I ever got anything done. And I just want to encourage you that there is a better, saner way to approach this problem, and it just is basically honoring your body the way it should be honored.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And thank you so much, having just had your accident with the horse. And I love the energy and passion you have for this subject. Do you have any suggestions, just as a final question, about how we can increase awareness in the society as a whole, in your neighborhood or in your church or in your school situation?
Well, it's tricky because the diet industry in the United States is $40 to $55 billion strong. And so we're up against a Goliath. But as a grassroots approach, absolutely speak with your friends, speak with your neighbors, speak with your relatives, talk to people in church. If you can get some books spread around, have a little support group where you look at these principles, talk to your school officials. It has to be on a one-to-one and one-to-group basis at this point, but we can make a difference.
That's so good. So do get a hold of Jean's books and have a great conversation with your many conversations with your children to find out what they really like to eat that's healthy, and just have those things in the house. Such great advice. So I appreciate you being on the show, Jean, and all the best to you.
Thank you, Randy. I really enjoyed being here today, and I wish you the best with your show. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.